Ladies and gents, you're listening to Beam Me Up Scotty, starring Kenny Scott Guffey, Brian Labuda, and Dawson Maiman, with Zach Bradley, that's me, and Trevor LeSueur.
So you are Daniel. Introduce yourself to the listeners and give them some background on who you are for anyone who is unfamiliar.
Okay. So my name's Daniel Sexton. I, for the past 6 years or so, have been a news anchor. I've worked at all kinds of different markets in all kinds of different places. So I was an intern for CNN during the Charleston church shootings. I worked in Knoxville, Tennessee for an NBC station during the Gatlinburg wildfires. Most recently, I was a morning news anchor in Louisville at the ABC affiliate during COVID and of course, the Breonna Taylor protests. And so have kind of moved around a lot of different towns, covered a lot of different things, and have kind of been in the news world in some form or fashion since I was about 17 years old. So it's kind of in my blood.
And you've also seen some pretty historical events, like, you know, you covered those. It's pretty impressive, too.
It's fun when you know what you're doing is important. It can bring a certain level of gratitude for the position. But, you know, it's also you're right in the thick of sometimes the worst thing that's going on. So it's kind of a double-edged sword.
Right, for sure. Yeah, I can understand that. What led you to the news business?
My grandpa was, his name was George McGuire, and he was a radio DJ in South Carolina for a small station called WJAY for decades. And so he was kind of my hero. I always looked up to him and didn't think I would do something like that until I was in high school and a CNN cameraman came to my high school. And I started talking to him about the news, and he kind of sold me on it. And he said, dude, why don't you just give it a try? Like, I'm sure your high school has something. So they had you remember those crappy little cameras where it had a USB that literally flipped out of it? I think it was called a flip cam.
Yeah.
So I grabbed one of those and made a news segment or like a little 15-minute news show about what was happening at the school. It was my best friend and I, Evans, and we were the two anchors. We didn't have reporters at that point. We made this little thing, and it was kind of like the daily announcements at anyone's high school meets a little bit of SNL, because we were also kind of ripping on funny things at the school too, and gave it to the principal. She bought it, and we did a monthly broadcast for 2 years, and I kind of fell in love with broadcasting and putting together media projects, I guess, through that.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. Ours was kind of you know, we did one, but it wasn't like a regular thing. It wasn't necessarily weekly. I wouldn't say it was monthly. It was just kind of here and there when they felt like doing it. Yeah, and the production values were okay. So, question three: until recently, you were on a morning news show. Give us a breakdown of what a typical day is like for someone in that position.
Sure. I give this both as a description and a warning to anyone considering going into local morning TV. My day started at about 1 a.m. when my alarm went off, and then an immediate, you know, half pot of coffee, and then you try to shower, get ready as quickly as you can. Then you're in the station at 2 a.m., to start preparing for a show that starts at 4:30 a.m. So from 2 to 4, you're reading scripts, helping write scripts, making editorial changes. Then at 4:15 or so, you're throwing on a tie and walking into the studio, putting on a microphone. And then we were live on the air from 4:30 to 7, at which point GMA would come on. And then after that, you know, some days you're kind of coasting, making calls, doing some reading. Other days you might finish the show at 7, have a gap till 9 when normal people get to work, and then go out to a shoot and then work on a story for a later day. So you never really knew how the end of the day was going to go. But I always knew that from the time my alarm went off at 1 and the time the show ended at 7, I would be in the newsroom kind of just grinding it out. And some days that is really fun, and some days not so much. But that's like any job, right?
Right, yeah. Every job has its upsides, its downsides, its good days, and its bad days, you know. So I feel right. That. Well, how did the pandemic affect your work? And not necessarily just you, but just as a whole, you know, because I'm sure that kind of had to, weren't you, you were working from home for a bit, weren't you? Or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I was. I think it affected us twofold. The first is the way it affects everyone else. I mean, it made everything harder. It was a difficult time. No one knew what to expect. And I think that the difference in news is we couldn't look away from that. It was staring us in the face every day at work, and it was all we were talking about. You know, normally in a 2.5-hour news show, you're going to talk about a million things. There were weeks and months when it was 2.5 hours of just straight COVID news, which everyone's going through it, but we were kind of just being reminded of it every second. So it weighed on you that way. But from a technical perspective, it changed things a lot. I remember my boss called me and said, hey, we're thinking about having one of the two anchors go remote, and we think it should be you. And I'm like, okay, sure. How are we going to do that? And she said, well, we're just going to try to set up a studio in your apartment. And so, you know, I'm a normal young person in a city. It's not like I have a huge apartment. Luckily, I have a spare bedroom. And they were going to set the studio up in my kitchen. And I said, you know, guys, just on the off chance that this thing doesn't last for a couple of weeks and it lasts longer, can we do it in the guest bedroom? And they said, yeah. And thank God we did that, because I was anchoring the news 5 days a week from home, from that guest bedroom for, I don't know, maybe 6 months plus.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was a while. Yeah.
A long time. And the big difference there that people don't know is when you're anchoring in a studio, there is help. There's a teleprompter. There's someone to troubleshoot if something goes wrong. When you're anchoring in the guest bedroom, there's no teleprompter. The scripts are not in front of you. And if something goes wrong, you're quickly jumping out of your chair and jumping out of your bed to see which wire you kicked unplugged.
So brag on yourself a little bit. You've won some awards, right? I think an Emmy, Morrow, and an AP award. Tell us about those and why they were awarded.
Sure. Yeah. All kinds of different things. And I always say that when you're in news, you never know what story is going to be the big story. So you try to do as well as you can every day, so that when the big one comes along, you're prepared. The Emmy that I won was for overall news writing, which I was really proud of, because that's not like one story that falls in your lap and it was so good they have to give you an award for it. It's a composite. So everyone in the market I was in at the time, which is, you know, most or all of Tennessee, parts of North Carolina, that region called the Mid-South region, everyone would kind of take their best writing samples and stories and put them into a composite and hand it forward, and then the judges would decide who had the best writing chops. And so that one I'm probably the most proud of. I've won AP awards or Associated Press awards for Anchor of the Year in the state of Tennessee, for sports feature, short serious news feature, and then the Murrows were both sports feature, which is kind of funny because I'm not a sports reporter. But if you're a storyteller, you're a storyteller, and occasionally a story would come along that had something to do with sports. And one of my all-time favorites I called it Boxing with God, but it was a youth boxing club in a church, which is just such a hilarious kind of almost oxymoronic thing to have a boxing club in the middle of a church. But it was so cool. It was these kids who got mentored by this guy who maybe saw that if they weren't doing that, they might be getting into some trouble like he did when he was a kid. And so Boxing for Jesus was born, and that was not the name of the club, but that's kind of what we called it while we were covering it. But anyway, all those, you know, the awards are cool, but they're very subjective. And so I try to tell everyone in any industry that if you let awards define you, you'll constantly be kind of grappling for some kind of value that some random person in some other place is giving to you or not giving to you. So my first maybe 2 years in this career, I was so obsessed with awards, and then kind of realized, you know, while they're an honor, if that's what you're using to drive your self-value, you're going to get yourself into trouble.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a great outlook to have. I also want to say Boxing with God, Boxing with Jesus, that whole thing sounds like a movie or TV series I would have watched as a kid.
Doesn't it?
You know, like growing up, I would have watched that.
Totally.
All right. So you recently stepped away from the news biz. What influenced that decision, if you don't mind us asking?
No, not at all. So a bunch of things, but long story short, I was like so many people in America who during the pandemic just had too much time to stare at the wall and think about their situation. And I was getting a little older and started kind of thinking about a future that I wanted to have. And that future, you know, includes a family and includes having time for the family. And if you succeed in the news business, at least in local news, and I was just talking to a network news executive who told me the exact same thing. When you succeed, you kind of find yourself in worse hours than you maybe had before. So the best two spots you can have as a local news anchor are the morning news or the evening news. So either you're working from 2 or 3 in the morning to 10 or 11 in the morning, or you're working from noon or 1 to midnight or, you know, 11. And so I started thinking about how am I going to be there for a future family if I have this schedule? And that was the big part of it was the schedule. The other part was just your why changes, your dreams change, right? And so all I wanted to do back in the day was to be a news anchor. And then I got there and it's, well, what do I want to do now? And I just have always loved commercial real estate. Most of, you know, my adult life, I've lived in multifamily commercial real estate, or I've enjoyed retail commercial real estate, and started thinking of the idea of passive income. I don't know if you do book recommendations on here, but Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I read that book and thought, you know, I want to have the time for my family. I want to have the freedom to go around and be there for people or do certain things. And I'm just not going to be able to do that if I'm waking up every morning at 1 a.m. So all those things kind of balled up into one. And I'm sure the toughness of being a news anchor during a pandemic had something to do with it too. But I've kind of stepped away and then actually just found out a couple days ago that I got an offer from Freddie Mac in Washington, D.C. And so I'm going to be moving there and entering that space. And I'm excited about it. It's going to be a new challenge. And I think when that happens, you kind of wake up a little bit, get out of your routine and get pushed to be more or do better or learn something new. And the way I see it, that can never be a bad move.
Congrats, man. That's really impressive. I'm very glad to hear that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I kind of knew I was doing this for a while, so I silently hustled a little bit. And you know, my last year at the news station, I was kind of getting a master's on the side online. And so I had some time during the pandemic, like everyone else, to think and try to take advantage of some of that free time that came with just being stuck at home.
Yeah. Well, that is awesome. I'm very glad, like I said, to hear that. That's impressive. So tell us about some other hosting gigs that you've done.
Sure. That's probably my favorite thing about being in the news business is all these other events you get to host. And I say that because if you're just anchoring the news every morning, you're not actually connecting with the community because they're seeing you, but you're seeing a camera. And yeah, you're maybe connecting in the sense that they watch you and get information from you, but it's a one-way street. You're not hearing back from them. Right. So, you know, getting to go out and host these events is the coolest thing in the world because you're getting real-time feedback. And trust me, no one has a problem coming up and saying how they feel. It shocked me sometimes the things that people would walk up to me and say. But some of the, you know, more fun events that I've hosted, one was this year, the Miss South Carolina pageant. That's something that I've kind of been involved with a little bit here and there. One of my sort of mentors, his name is Mark L. Wahlberg. He's the guy that hosts Temptation Island and the Antiques Roadshow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you know him?
I don't know him, but I know of him.
Know of him? Right. Yeah. So he's the best. He's from my hometown, and he's a host. And so he used to do that gig. And then eventually they asked me to do it. And it was cool kind of. I remember sitting there years ago watching him do it and saying, I'm gonna host a show this big one day. And then getting to do it was cool. And then smaller things are really neat too. I mean, I went out one time. One of my favorite things was going out and making an appearance and doing live shots at this thing called the Granger County Tomato Festival. And it is in Granger County, Tennessee, and they are known for tomatoes. And they literally have the best tomatoes you will ever have in your life. I don't know, like, if it's the dirt there or some secret sauce they're putting in it, but these tomatoes are incredible. And it's a whole festival that thousands of people come to around these tomatoes. So, you know, you go from things like a broadcasted pageant that's being watched by millions of people to you're in the middle of Granger County, Tennessee at a tomato festival. And it's all just so much fun.
I may have to check out a tomato festival, man. I'm in the minority. I love tomatoes. Everybody I know hates them. And so,
oh, well, you got to go. This is like the pinnacle of tomatoes.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check it out because, like, I mean, I'll be Googling and seeing when the next one is. So
it's the best. If you want to go, I'll hook you up. I know Miss Kathy, she runs it. So,
oh, awesome.
So I'll get you a ticket.
How about a Daniel Sexton podcast in your future?
That is something I've thought about a ton. And I think of a podcast for me the same way that I think of a tattoo. Once I find something that is makes so much sense, I truly fall in love with it and will never get sick of it, then maybe I'll do it. But I think the space is so, there's so many people doing it.
So many.
I don't want to do dead air. So if I'm going to do something, there's got to be a reason I'm doing it. And I need to feel like I'm truly the best person to be talking about it.
Yeah.
And so once I can figure out what that is, I truly think that once you're a media person, you never give that up, right? So a podcast would be just a wonderful outlet to do what you do, to talk to people you find interesting. And you know, when I'm looking at your podcast, you can see you kind of have a niche there. And I would just have to figure out what that was for me. And right now, I have no idea, unless it's something about people who randomly decide to jump away from a perfectly good career and start another one, which might make an interesting podcast. I don't know.
So I usually give the guest the last word. Do you have any last words you would like to leave the listeners with?
I think after the past couple of years that we've had, if I was going to leave any kind of last word, I would say the same thing that I said a few years ago to a sixth grade class that I spoke to. And it's a nice little saying called gook, which sounds a lot more disgusting than the saying is, but it's be genuine, be unique, and be kind. And I think between the pandemic making us all more short-fused than we've ever been and social media making us all less unique than we, you know, more following the crowd than we've ever been,
yeah,
trying to be genuine with other people, being unique to who you are, and being kind, that's sort of the be the change you want to see in the world type message that I try to follow. And if being a little different comes at the expense of losing a few friends, I think you'll find you'll make a million more in just being yourself. So that would be my last word.
Hey, this is Brian with a long, long, long overdue movie review. So I haven't done one of these in a while. And I actually just watched a movie that I think was, like, really cool, the premise of it. It's called Possum, and it was on Shudder. And it's about a disgraced puppeteer who goes home to confront his stepfather. And he has this, like, creepy puppet that's basically a spider with a boy's face on it. He tries to get rid of it, but it keeps coming back. I can't really tell you more than that because it will kind of spoil the movie. I guess. But if you're a fan of, like, you know, The Witch or Hereditary or kind of those slower moving, creepier kind of like horror films, then I would highly suggest this movie to you. It was, you know, a slow burn, but the whole entire feel of the movie is just foreboding and dark and creepy. A lot of suspense is built up. It's not really, you know, jump scares like most of the movies, like It and all that stuff. It's more, you know, psychological. And I think that that's, you know, I think I said this many times in other reviews, but I think that that's really missing from the mainstream horror genres, that there really aren't any films that are basically just slow burn horror films that show up in the movie theaters these days. It's all kind of like, you know, fast-paced, jump-scare kind of things. And I really think that, you know, if you're into that slower burn, you'd really like Possum. I don't really know the actors in it, but the acting was kind of phenomenal in it. I didn't think that anybody was overacting. There was nothing that was really, like, off-guard. Like, usually, so, for example, I saw the movie Antlers over the weekend, and it's funny because I thought Antlers, the acting in the movie Antlers, was, like, kind of, like, bad, especially the principal, which is kind of a bummer because for a movie that's kind of has, like, some bigger names attached to it, like Guillermo del Toro, you would think that the acting would be a little bit better, but it wasn't. The movie was fine. I guess it's just turned into a review of two movies, but I highly recommend Possum. It's on Shudder. I'm sure it's on other streaming websites, and you could possibly get a DVD or a Blu-ray or download it somewhere. And if you want to see Antlers, go see Antlers 2. Antlers wasn't too bad, and it was kind of fun.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Beam Me Up, Scotty. And today is Thursday. Typically, Scott likes for our segments to be done by Wednesday, but he gives me that extra little umph because he loves me. And I say umph, that extra day or two, or like I turn in a segment every week normally on a Thursday because I'm so busy. Scott has reminded me almost every day this week, segment. And like I said last week, I was applying for a promotion, which I actually got. So yeehaw, gang, got the promotion. So, that's awesome. That's really the top thing going on in my life right now. You know, I now get a company vehicle. That's really the coolest thing about it. I'm over 30-ish accounts now by myself that I've got to run, upkeep, do all this stuff. And it's really a big headache, but hey, it's going to pay off. I'm just, as you can tell, much like last week, I didn't record last week. I took a break last week. So the week before last, in the last week, I've gotten a promotion. So anyways, that's gnarly. I'm just as tired as I was before. Currently having to deal with my child. All good?
Yeah.
Anyways, now that I've come back to recording, I took about a 45 minute to an hour hiatus.
Hi.
There we are. There it is.
Hi.
Okay. Say what's up.
Hi.
Yeah, hi, sup. Anyways, as you can tell, super busy. I'm in dad mode. I've got a lot going on. Don't really have a whole lot going on. Not a whole lot has gone on in the last week and a half, other than what I've mentioned. I mean, tomorrow is my flex day for work, and so that means I'm going to be running all over freaking town, doing this, hanging that. I mean, I'm just going to be trying to polish every single one of my turds as beautiful as they can be. I'm just tired. But I love doing this segment. And it really keeps me motivated to want to do it every week, every time I, you know, record a segment. It makes me want to do it again and again and again. I just get fucking busy. That's what it boils down to. Oh, so I think for next week, I planned to do a special segment. Haven't told Scott about it, but it's got to do with Louisiana. So I'm going to try and involve Scott, maybe Scott and his wife. I haven't planned it out yet, but I'll think about it over the weekend and then we'll go from there. So totally off topic / on topic. Have any of you ever watched Basketball? It is done by the creators of South Park, Matt Stone and Trey Parker, or Trey Stone and Matt Parker. I don't know. I always get it confused. But, you know, I've seen it several times because I am a retired stoner. So, you know, I've watched all those dumbass movies. Sorry, guys. I've got a wolf in the back. Are you a wolf? Anyway, some type of howling animal. Anyways, I watched it the other night for the first time in a couple of years. And I had my... I got engaged, guys. I forgot to say that. That's awesome. Congrats, Dawson. Love my life. Ooh, my fiance would hate me if she listened to this. But anyways, I put that on the other night to, you know, just fall asleep to, because I like to watch movies, you know, whenever I go to sleep, or to make me go to sleep. Ow. And Robin, my fiance, looked at me that next morning whenever I woke up about 5:30. And she said, what the F-U-C-K did you put on last night before bed? You know, I told her. And she said that was the most GD dumb A movie she's ever seen in her life. And I mean, if you've ever seen the movie, you know how ridiculous it is. And now that I've, like, gone back and watched it, like, as a non-stoner, it is so ridiculous. But like I said, next week's segment is going to be more interesting. So sorry to kind of string you guys along for 5 minutes over nothing. As always, I'm just going to wrap it up. I'm going to just go ahead and I'm going to throw in the towel for today and start fresh next week. But anyways, as always, we love, we appreciate, and we respect and care about you guys. If there's anything we can polish or fix to make our podcast, I'm sorry. If there's anything we can do, I'm just all over the place, dude. If there's anything we can do to make this better for you guys, more entertaining, please reach out. Please comment. We're on Facebook, Instagram. We're on Twitter, but we're not really active on there. Scott's the most active one on social media. He's like a teenage freaking girl. He stays on social media more than I do, and I'm 10 years younger. JK, not 10 years younger, but significantly younger. And like I said, he is like a teenage girl, and that is great. He'd be a great marketing president somewhere at some huge corporation. He'd kill it. But anyways, like I said, hey, stay out of that candle. Sorry, I fought with her. She has dug up an entire candle today with her bare hands. Oh, while I've got you here, this little mother trucker said, "Daddy, can I have a piece of chocolate?" Earlier, this was after dinner. I said, "Sure." So I gave her a piece of chocolate, and she leaves the room and goes into the laundry room where I have my cat food and, you know, water. And I kind of hear digging around in there, and I was too tired to get up. And she comes back in, and she was like, "Daddy, where's Juno's chocolate?" I'm like, "I don't know. Where's Juno's chocolate?" And she looked at me, and she pulled her hands up, and she had cat food, like cat food dust all over her hands. And she said, "Daddy, it's in the cat food." This little punk pushed down these two little Hershey squares into the cat food. 10 minutes later, she comes back with it and eats it. Anyways, that's it. I've got to go, guys. I've got to deal with this little wax-covered toddler. All right, I know your heads. All right, guys, as always, again, we love, appreciate you. We respect you. Have a great weekend. Be safe out there and prepare those waistlines, because Thanksgiving's coming.
How is my favorite podcast host?
I'm tired. How are you?
know, honestly, much of the same. Daylight savings, man.
Totally.
This time of the year is always such a big adjustment, and knowing that it only gets worse for, you know, the next month or so, doesn't make it any easier.
No, and like, okay, so the day that you, like, the day that daylight saving time ends, when you set the clocks back, like, does it not feel like, to me, it feels like the longest day of the year. Like, I don't know why.
It just does to me.
Yes. I don't know why. I was like, the other night, like, we were in bed by 6 p.m., okay? Like, I mean, that night. I was just like, you know, we laid in bed for what I thought was most of the night. You know, I looked at the clock. It was 8:30, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, I hate it.
No, it's kind of ridiculous. And it same thing happens every year. There's this crazy period of adjustment, and like, you walk around, and especially if you spend any time outdoors, like if you are out during the day and you are out while day becomes night, when sun goes down, you're walking around, you're thinking like, oh my God, it's got to be like 9 or 10 PM. Like it's been a good day, a long day. And then when you check your clock and it's 5:57 PM, it's like, what is going on? It's like you stepped into a different dimension.
I know. It's like, I feel like I've got to like go straight to bed. Like by the time that it gets dark, for some reason, even though it gets dark, I guess where I'm at, like, it doesn't get dark until like 9 in the summer, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm used to that, and not that 9 is late, but now I've got a kid and, you know, I'm old and I have, you know, a life and responsibility. So 9 o'clock is like bedtime, you know?
Yeah.
So what's been up with you this week? How's it been going?
You know, these past couple of weeks actually have been kind of nice. It seems like that a lot of productions are starting to enter that, like, that holiday hiatus. At least a lot of the smaller productions and stuff like that are. So I've been taking the past couple of weeks to kind of catch up on some of like the logistical stuff, because I have been fortunate enough to work quite a bit on different sets and stuff over the past year and doing some traveling and whatnot. So I've been updating resumes. I actually did submit to a couple of more agencies around the U.S. These past couple of weeks. And then I actually did get the final edits of some recent headshots in. So it's been like updating a lot of stuff, doing a lot of like the back end managerial work. It's weeks like these that make me realize and understand that there is way more to this job, especially if you want to be successful.
For sure.
That involves you kind of being an entrepreneur, you being your own boss, if you will, making sure that everything runs smoothly, especially when you do ideally get busy. So it's been a lot of that stuff. And then I am also a regular, I don't really know what you would call it, but I guess I'm a regular on a YouTube channel, and it's primarily a reaction channel. And we recently passed over 50,000 subs on the YouTube channel, and that has encouraged us to branch out and do some other things. So we recently started a Twitch like gaming channel.
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah, and we're expanding now into movies and television as well. So I've been able to kind of like help out with that stuff too, and have spent some extra time in the studio these past couple weeks for that, which has been a lot of fun. So, and just enjoying family.
Love it. That's what it's all about, especially this time of year. It's like, yeah, you just kind of just step back and step away for a bit. Exactly. And I love it so much. So you have like Thanksgiving plans?
You know, nothing crazy yet. The family, at least the my side of the family that I'm particularly close with, is actually quite small. Like basically it's my grandma and grandpa on my dad's side, and then I've got a couple of cousins, you know, got Auntie Coco, Auntie Amy. but that's about it. So every year the holidays are kind of a mostly intimate experience, especially with that side of the family. And this year, Grandma and Grandpa are actually going to Thanksgiving at someone else's, and my aunt is going up to Michigan with my uncle on that side. So I think it's going to be pretty like at ease and chill this year, just mom, dad, brother, and I don't know, it feels like kind of the year that I would want that, I guess.
Yeah, so for sure.
I agree. How about you, Kenny? Give me the rundown on a good old Guffy Thanksgiving.
Oh man, like it's always just boring. It's very laid back. We always put on like movies, and Tiffany cooks a turkey, and you know, we still haven't decided what we're having as far as food is concerned, you know. But I mean, that's it. And we watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and you know, it's bland.
Sounds like we could team up, Kenny, and have a really nice, really, really wild Thanksgiving.
The blandest Thanksgiving you have ever seen.
Oh my God. The way you said that, like I could see the movie poster. I could hear the action-packed movie trailer now. Like,
hey, Scott, it's Trevor Lesueur. I heard one of your podcasts the other day, and I discovered that you have a hard time speaking, whether you're slurring your words or swallowing your words. You're just not speaking as clear as you could, and you need to articulate better. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some great tongue twisters that I use and have used for a long time, and they've helped me out tremendously, and I'm thinking, you know what, maybe they can help you too, because you need it. So here we go. This is the first one. I am a loser. I need to speak better on my podcast. That's one. If my guests can understand what I'm saying, they must have superpowers, because even I can't understand what I'm saying. That's another one. Oh, here's a good one. Ken Scott Guffey cannot speak, and he is a loser. And also, don't read into these, because they have nothing to do with you. And that last one, you're going, oh, but it sounds like you were saying Ken Scott Guffey. No, no, no. That came from ancient scripture. It is all one word. But you're saying it as if you're breaking it up so you can have some dynamics to your voice. Don't read into it. I know you do, because you're very tall. It's all about you. Everything's got to be, oh, that person's wearing a red shirt. That's because they know that I like the color red. No, it's a complete stranger, Scott. They don't know you. They're not wearing it because of you. They're wearing it because they like it, not because you like it. Back on task. You're very distracting. You know that? So here's another one.
I should just give it all up and get that job at the bait store at the lake that nobody fishes at.
That's a good one, too. Let me see if there's any others I can think of. Here's a very simple one.
I am a loser because I know I'm a loser.
And you repeat it.
I am a loser because I know I'm a loser. I am a loser because I know I'm a loser.
What's great about that is you're repeating the word loser twice. You're really, you know, planting that seed in your head that you need to say it clearly again and then again and then again and then again, because you're repeating it. That I think that should do it. I'm trying to just one more that I could do. Here's one.
I am ashamed of myself. I am ashamed of myself.
That's a pretty basic one, though. Oh,
that wasn't me wearing the diaper. That wasn't me wearing the diaper. I don't need a diaper.
That's a really good one. Just stretch the diaphragm. Work yourself. Work. I don't care if you have to quit your job to get these down pat. You do it, because it's called dedication. Okay. I want to be proud of you. I want your daughter to be proud of you. I want your wife to be proud of you. I want the world to be proud of you. And I know that only I have the power to make that happen. So I guess that means you got to listen to everything I tell you to do. Okay. Don't be a loser. Just please, God. Please, just don't suck, man. Because when you suck, you're up there alone on that podium of suck. And you are just sucking it so hard, man. There's only so much that I can do, okay? I can only show you the door. And I can push you through it, man. I can drag you down the path. You know, maybe it is all up to me. Maybe you don't need to do anything. You know what? It's probably what it is. It's all up to me to make you not a loser. Well, do the tongue twisters if you want to. Meanwhile, I'm going to put my life on hold to make you not a loser. Bye. I've got to go. I've got a ton of work to do.
On behalf of Beam Me Up, please visit AntonYelchinFoundation.org. Thank you.